Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. We are eager to offer amazingly competitive prices, plus an additional $1,000 Costco discount on all new Cherry Hill Volvos. When leasing or purchasing a new or certified Cherry Hill Volvo, you become a valued part of our team. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Rich Cioli Show Podcast.
All right, happy Monday. So glad you're here today. Of course, every day we get the week started off right. Thanks to you being here. 855-839-1210. Don't forget to check in on Facebook, facebook.com/Zioli Show, where we will read some comments back in real time because relationships matter. Thanks to our friends at Cherry Hill Volvo who posted. So what you do is you go to facebook.com/Zioli Show, Z-E-O-L-I show, and you post a comment about something we're talking about on the air, and then could read it back to you on the air. It's pretty cool. All right, now look, with everything going on, you got to ask yourself this question, I think. If you're a Democrat right now, you got to say to yourself, is impeachment helping us, right? Is impeachment actually achieving any of our goals here? Now, I assume the goal for most Democrats who aren't completely crazy would be to win the election, right? Win the election. Why do I say that? I say that because not all Democrats have that same ideal. I don't think it's about winning the election for Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. I think it's about a pure Democrat, progressive, socialist party. Remember what she said? She said last week in an interview, I can't even believe Joe Biden and I are in the same party. So if you're Ed Rendell, you want to win the 2020 election. If you're AOC, you want to cleanse the party of Ed Rendell types, and you want to have this new progressive Democrat awakening. And that may mean losing 2020. That's okay with them. They've got time. They're fine. That's all right with them, especially when they think they can just keep impeaching President Trump. They don't care. She'd be fine. By the way, let me tell you the secret here. And this is the thing about politics that perhaps my years of being in politics is a perspective that I can bring to talk radio that few can't. I did not spend my career in radio. This is my first real radio job that I ever had. I came from politics. I wasn't an FM disc jockey who decided to do talk. I decided to do talk because I loved the genre and I grew up with it and I love it. But from being in politics my whole time of life and knowing the people that I know, and people in politics are about promoting themselves and about moving up in their own self-interest. And that's life. It's just the way it is. It's no different than any other career. The idea that politicians step back and go, well, let me do what's good for everybody else except for myself, what hurts my own interest, doesn't really work that way. If you're Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and you are 30 years old and you get to be the person who goes after Donald Trump every day for the next 4 years, and now suddenly now you're torting 35, you're torting potentially now the vice presidency or perhaps the speakership of the House of Representatives. And you are now one of the single most powerful people in the country versus, compare that to, you've got to deal with President Joe Biden for 4 years, who hates you and is a different kind of Democrat than you. You said it. And doesn't want anything to do with your wacky caucus, your wacky group of friends, Congresswoman Brother Lover, allegedly, and others. Doesn't want to deal with your wacky group of little friends. And then, so now you are on the sidelines. Even though there's a Democrat in the White House, you're on the sidelines. Because instead of being a powerful, outspoken source, it'll be Biden and Pelosi and Schumer running the show, and go away, little crazy, go away, crazy. We got the White House. Do you want that? If you're AOC, now you might think, well, of course she does, because for the good of the country, it's better to have a Democrat in the White House who will do the kind of things that she wants. No, wrong. She would rather be on TV all the time going on about how Donald Trump is horrible and racist and climate change and blah, blah, blah. She would rather be the it girl. She doesn't want to cede that to somebody else, cede that over to a Democrat president, unless it's her guy, unless it's Bernie Sanders or maybe Elizabeth Warren, though I doubt it. But otherwise, she wants to be the star. as she gears up for the next phase of her political career. There was a Democrat, I guess you'd say more of a centrist Democrat, who's the leader of a caucus, who was on TV over the weekend, would not say, could not answer whether or not AOC is good for the Democrats or not. Just kind of dodged the question. What, couldn't say. Didn't want to answer the question. Didn't want to say that, because she knows that AOC is not good for them. Outside of the progressive bubble of places like Philadelphia and Washington, D.C. and New York City, San Francisco, Portland, these other places, Democrats don't think like they do. You know, the mainline Democrats don't think like the Democrats do in the Larry Krasner world. At least they didn't used to. Now that's changing, obviously. That's changing a lot. And if AOC had her way, it would change completely. Mainline Democrats would be extricated from the party. So for a lot of union guys, for example, and gals, the reason why you're seeing those kind of numbers out of Toledo, Ohio, 22% of the people going to Trump rallies being Democrats, is because a lot of them work in blue-collar jobs that people would, Democrats would eliminate, whether it's coal or it's fossil fuel or it's fracking or, hell, it's even just manufacturing or making cars. Because a big plan, of course, with raising the fuel standards would be cars would become so expensive that people would not be able to afford them anymore. And they would just move to cities and take trains. I told you last week that one of the most socialist ideas you can have is to end private home ownership. Now, I was talking about how Elizabeth Warren said the following with regards to what her plans are for 2028 and houses and housing, right? And this is what America's mother-in-law said last week.
But there are also things we're going to have to fight. We've got through our agencies. You know, climate change threatens every living thing on this planet. And what scares me is every time you go back to the scientists, they tell you two things. It's worse than we thought, and we have less time. That means we've got to be willing to do things, for example, like regulation. By 2028, no new buildings, no new houses, without a zero carbon footprint.
Okay, now, a house without a zero carbon footprint be so expensive, but that's kind of the idea. Over at UCLA, University of California, Los Angeles, Professor Kian Go, urban planning professor, who has said, we need to seriously question the idea of private home ownership. She wrote an op-ed suggesting the need to rethink home ownership. Now, why? For climate change, of course. For climate change. She wants to get rid of the idea. She said, the American tradition of private property ownership and the collective property theories, private home ownership, we need to change that to more collective cities. And she cites examples of public housing put in practice by Ilhan Omar, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and Bernie Sanders. They want cooperative housing, community land trusts. We have to put more power into the federal government as opposed to the Jeffersonian agrarian ideal. The Jeffersonian agrarian ideal. And so she says that ideal with its cheap energy, individual property rights, has created the scorching landscapes we see today. Campus Reform has this. She concluded how one should seriously question the American dream with obtaining private property in the face of modern issues. Quote, the ideals of the American dream that have been instilled for more than 150 years would be difficult to dispel. Those ideals have blinded us to other possibilities. We need another kind of escape route away from our ideologies of ownership and property and toward more collective, healthy and just cities. So right there is a great point. What I mean in terms of the thinking of extreme people on the left and then people that you might say are just your average run-of-the-mill Democrats who build houses, maybe union guys who their job, they're carpenters, they're electricians, they build houses. And the Democrats say we want to end private home ownership unless it's a zero carbon footprint, which is insane. I mean, come on. But then again, look, think of some of the people that are in on this on this world. Think of some of the people that are in on this. Here's a climate activist. She was at a climate change protest at the Capitol on Friday. She said when oil and gas companies set up man camps, different from your man cave, by the way, man camps. All right. For the pipeline projects. And, well, take a listen.
Hello, my relatives. My Lakota name is Black Shawl Woman. I am from the Cheyenne River Sioux Reservation. My mother and father's names are White Mountain Woman and Smoke Twice. My grandmother's name is Yellow Star Woman, and I am a descendant of Chief Gall.
No relation to Elizabeth Warren. I just want to make that point. Make that point very, very clear.
no secret that my people endured violent repercussions for standing peacefully and unarmed in 2016 against the Dakota Access Pipeline in Standing Rock. We saw relatives nearly lose eyes and limbs with the use of non-lethal weapons by the state, or in my case, being viciously mauled by an attack dog from an illegally permitted private security firm that was on the ground. We've seen the lengths to which the state will go to protect their profit. And right now, again, my ancestral homelands are facing yet another threat, the Keystone XL pipeline, which will snake right underneath the Cheyenne River, for which my tribe is named. Man camps are being constructed as we speak. And I'm not too sure if you all know what man camps are, but they are camps in which house the thousands of workers that will be completing the pipeline. One is right next to our reservation border. Now, the thing about man camps is when they're constructed, the rates of missing and murdered Indigenous people skyrocket and drugs become bountiful. And I see this as no coincidence.
Where do all those people go in the man camps when the man camps are set up and they kill all these Indigenous peoples and people? I want to know. That's a great question I have. Also, can you decorate your man camp with like a Bud Light sign, you know, the neon signs, like people do in their man caves? You ever see what people do in man caves?
Yeah. Put a big, you know,
downright
big
gaudy, if you ask me.
75-inch TV in their man camps.
Or in if you got a man camp and you want to put a dartboard, maybe a foosball table.
Pool table, yep.
Perhaps the pool table ice hockey combo.
Yep. Yep.
Can that be in the man camp?
Yep. Foosball, I think you said that. Yeah.
Right, yeah. Right. So you're going to have two foosballs. And of course, now that, but you got to make time to murder Indigenous people, though. That's, see, I don't know if you can fit it all in. You know what I mean? That's a lot to fit in the course of one day. Now, look, I'm guessing, and I don't know for sure, I'm guessing that if there are people that are going missing and there's all these murders that take place in there, I'm guessing law enforcement would probably look into this. Just kind of a guess that I have, but think about the idea of somebody like that UCLA professor and then somebody like this climate activist who's suggesting that as we're developing on these lands and everything like this, we are encroaching on tribal areas. I mean, you can make that argument about pretty much almost all the United States of America. So you see, if you end private ownership of homes, well, you know, see where I go with this? I mean, you can kind of tie it all together.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.